Can everybody hear me? All right, so this week we want to look at a message that the angels brought to the shepherds in the field. And we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 2, but first I want to kind of set this up a little bit. Because Mary and Joseph, it's not quite time for that right there, but I'll get there. Mary and Joseph had to travel about 70 miles, which was a little bit over a week because she was pregnant, more than likely. It doesn't tell us specifically, but we know it was 70 miles, and normally it would take a few days, and they expect that it probably took a little while longer. But they had to go there because of the census, and they had to be counted. So Joseph and Mary set off to Bethlehem to be counted. So I'm trying to think about this journey that they were taking, and I try to think of my own wife whenever she was near delivery and having to listen to the doctors and her friends and people saying, you know, here's what you need to do to go ahead and get the birthing process started. You guys know what that is, one of the things that they say? There's a bunch of them, but walking is one of them. So, walking is one of them. So they're on this long journey for 70 miles. They didn't have cars. They didn't have motorcycles. They didn't have skateboards and all that kind of stuff. So they're actually walking, and she also rode on a donkey some of the way. Now, some of you guys may correct me if I'm wrong here, but the one time in my life that I rode on a horse was a neat experience. But I remember very well that whenever I'm riding on this horse and it's trotting alongside my aunt and uncle, that my bottom is just constantly doing this on the saddle. And I may just not have known how to ride or whatever, but just constantly banging. Now, they could have been going much slower to where it wasn't as bad, but I still can't imagine that it was fun riding on a donkey and that constant pressure at a week away from delivery. So I think that was probably a little bit tough on them. So I think she was probably ready to have that baby by the time that she got there. So Jesus was born. But I want to talk about the shepherds in the fields that were nearby. So they were out there tending their sheep. They had their little flocks of sheep, but these sheep weren't like just sheep that people had and that they're raising for wool or whatever. These were the sheep that were actually taken to the temple. So the firstborn of these sheep, the unblemished ones, they would take to the temple to be sacrificed there. So that's what these shepherds outside of Bethlehem were actually doing. And consequently, the Lamb of God, the unblemished Lamb of God, is also being born in Bethlehem. So I think that's kind of cool to think about also. So now let's start off reading in Luke 2, verse 8. And it's up there on the screen for you. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in a field, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So, the shepherds are out there tending their sheep, and all of a sudden an angel appears before them, and it says that they were afraid. Any idea why they were afraid? I don't know either, but I've got a really good guess. I think that they were probably afraid because if an angel just suddenly showed up while I'm out riding my motorcycle, stop somewhere, or walk outside of work and there's an angel there, I'm probably going to wonder what I did wrong, especially with all this glory of this angel being there. I'm probably going to be wondering what is going on, so I'm probably going to be a little bit scared. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid." So they have this thing going on where the angel's saying, "Don't be afraid," but there's this angel, and they're probably still kind of wondering. And just as that is going on. An entire multitude appears up in the heavens of all these angels, and they start singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And there probably is some kind of song like that. My wife would know, but I'm not into music that much. So fear not. And they were up there praising God. So then the shepherds, they actually made their way into Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby lying there. So it was actually true what the angel appeared and told them. It was actually true. So mark one for God. He was right. There was an angel born there. So now I actually want to break down this just a little bit. We have, let me go to it right in here so I can see what my correct translation said. I'm just kidding. But I know that it's talking about the glory for God too. Bless you. Glory to God in the highest heaven. So these angels are giving all the glory to God. They're angels up in the sky. There's an angel there with them, and these guys are giving glory to God. Now, whenever I think about that, I think about something like our Thanksgiving meal that was not this week, but the week prior to that. And I want to thank everybody that was involved in that. Everybody that was that gave us the people that needed to be fed. Thank you, guys. Thank you to the ones that actually went out and delivered the food to people. And also, thank you to the guys that made the food and everybody just involved in that. But we get thanks, but we don't get the glory because God is the one that put it on y'all's hearts to give us those people that needed to be fed. God's the one that probably spoke to you and said that you need to deliver the food to the people, and the other people that were involved in that all together, that was by God. So we need to be sure that we give God the glory, just like what the angels did. Then the next thing that they say is on earth, peace. But wait a second, though. What about over in Iraq right now? What about in Afghanistan? What about the stuff going on over there in Israel right now? What about the Muslims that are beheading people? What about the stuff in Ferguson? So that doesn't seem like peace to me. So I'm thinking maybe the angels weren't being truthful, but they were right about the baby being in the manger. Maybe Luke, whenever he was writing down these things, maybe he messed up somewhere. Are you guys catching maybe a little problem in the thinking there? Because the last part of that sentence says, "And on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So we got two questions then. Who are these people that God is pleased with? That's number one. And what is this peace? So first we need to talk about what peace is. The Jews kind of thought that the Messiah was going to bring this political and this literal peace. They weren't expecting this meek, humble carpenter that was going to come riding in on a donkey. But Jesus himself said in Matthew 10, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." But he also said, "Peace I leave with you," in John 14, "Peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So which one of these is it supposed to be? Are we enemies with everybody, or does he give us peace? So for generations and generations, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, there has been this gap, this wedge between us and God, because we mess up and God does not mess up. We sin and be disobedient to what God says, and we've talked about over several weeks that none of us can even look at three of the Ten Commandments and say that we haven't committed those. So every one of us has messed up, And then there's God over here who never messes up and can't be in the presence of messed up. So we had to find a way to be able to bridge that gap. And there is a way that I'm going to go over. Because Jesus that was born in that manger grew up, lived a sinless life. He had a ministry. He performed miracles. He did all these amazing works. And they were all prophesied about way prior that he would do these things to show us that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior that was going to come to save mankind from all that mess that we get ourselves into. That peace of warring between us and God, that is true peace. With me so far? No? So who gets to walk across the bridge to an eternity in God's presence? Who are these people that God says in whom he is pleased? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." And the Apostle John tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever would just believe in him would not die, but live forever. So that tells me that those that believe in Jesus, the Son of God, are the people who have gained peace. Believers are the ones that God is pleased with because we've accepted his Son and made him the Lord of our lives. So we can have peace knowing that our Creator, the Creator of this building, of every building, of everything that we see, of the heavens, the earth, everything, has given us a way by sending his Son so that we might be in his presence in glory for all of eternity, not just for that time the angels was there with the shepherds, but we can experience his glory for all of eternity. So I think when we look at this, we see that Jesus brought something much bigger and better than what the Jews ever imagined. They were seeing this peace with them and Rome, and he was going to come in like a warrior and beat up everybody, and it was going to be this great thing. But Jesus came in and brought us peace, like an eternal peace, a spiritual peace between a sovereign God and a sinful people that keeps on messing up. So he sends his Son, and he lives this life, and then he dies on the cross to pay the debt that we owed for our sins. And then 3 days later, God raised him up from the dead and defeated death once and for all so that we could live for all of eternity. So I think whenever we think of peace on earth, it's going to get there. And it is here whenever we have peace in Christ Jesus. Us believers can have peace in knowing that whatever happens here in this lifetime, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. We have to look to the place that God has prepared for us. And it's that place that we talked about last week where we can be with God and he will be our God. In our hearts, knowing that we have this awesome, awesome God who sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins, and then he sent another Comforter that's here with us now to speak to us and guide us and be our conscience. And we can have peace knowing that. I'm going to close this in prayer. God, thank you so much for this message of peace. Thank you for the angels that delivered your message to the shepherds there in the field about Jesus, about the Savior that was born. Not anything big, not a king, not a prince. He was born in a manger. He was laid on hay there in Bethlehem, where your prophet said that he would be born. A long time before that. God, thank you for the peace that we can have and knowing what you did for us so that we could spend eternity with you, and we give you all the glory for everything that we do in our lives, for everything that we do as a church. We just give you the glory for everything because you created it. You know our hearts better than anyone. So God, I ask that if there is anyone here today that doesn't know the peace that we can have through Jesus, that they would make you the Lord of their life, and that they would find that peace through your Son. Because you are an awesome, awesome God. In your name I pray. Amen.